Judges chapter 13. How many are in tune with the Holy Spirit? How many can sense the presence of God here this morning? God is bringing revival, and it comes because of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Spirit of God. Amen? And as we turn to Judges, turn to Judges 13, verse 24 and 25. And then I'm going to jump to Judges chapter 16. Amen? So I'm going to read two verses, Judges 13, 24 and 25. And then we're going to jump a couple of chapters to Judges chapter 16, verse 17 to 21. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And the word of God says like this. The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manadan between Zorah and Eshtaol. Now jump to Judges chapter 16, verse 21, verse 17 to 21. And it says like this. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, he said, because I have been a Nazirite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head were shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he had told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines. Come back once more. He has told me everything. So the ruler of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the 7 braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him, and his strength left him. Verse 20. Then she said, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke up from his sleep and thought, I will go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you would anoint me and give me the words to minister to your people here today. God, I pray, Father, that our hearts would be open, God, for your Spirit, God, to have its way in our lives, God. I pray that you will remove every obstacle in the way that would hinder what you want to do here this morning, God. I pray that you would be glorified and receive all the praises. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody says amen and amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. This morning, I'm going to title this message, Stay Tuned to the Holy Spirit. Stay tuned to the Holy Spirit. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Understand, recognize the presence of God. This message got birthed because last Sunday we had church, we had service, and I was preaching about revival, and God wants to bring revival to our lives, and then had an altar call last Sunday, and I felt the presence of God at our altar call last Sunday. I just sensed that not everybody recognizes the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you remember, those of you that were here last week, I said, if you don't recognize the presence, I need you to come back up here. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. And several of you came up and we prayed. Amen. But I felt that God wants me to focus on that point. To focus on that. That as Christians, as believers, as people of God, we need to understand and we need to recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we need to not quench the Holy Spirit. We need to not put the Spirit's fire out. And because if we need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the Holy Spirit fell on the people of God, on the 120 of Jesus' disciples after Jesus rose from the dead, and the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they began to speak in tongues. And then after they began to speak in tongues, they began to preach the gospel, and thousands of souls were getting saved. Because they began to understand the Holy Spirit. They did not understand it before. But all of a sudden, God opened up their eyes and they understood that they needed to be filled with the power of God, not just, you know, have a relationship with God and know, I know Jesus and praise the Lord, but God wants to fill us with his power, with his anointing, so that we can do great exploits that God has called us to do, to reach hurting people. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that when you receive the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will have power to be a witness for the Lord in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Amen. So how many know we need the power of the Holy Spirit? See, and the Holy Spirit not only will give us power to be his witness, but the Bible says that Jesus told his disciples, when I leave, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will be your helper, will guide you. That Holy Spirit will be your comforter. How many know that we go through trials in our Christian walk? And the Holy Spirit will comfort us, hallelujah, will help us, will guide us. Sometimes we're not sure what to do, where to go, how to handle a situation. But the Holy Spirit is there to help us and to guide our life. But if we don't recognize the Holy Spirit, then we're going to just continue doing our fleshly things. We're going to be operating in the flesh. Amen. And that is a dangerous place to be. And a good example of that is the story of Samson. Many of you, you know the story of Samson. And that Samson, you know, he had a girlfriend named Delilah. Right? Samson and Delilah. And everybody says, be careful for Delilah. Right? Yeah. Right? Be careful for Delilah. Right? But we got to be careful for being like Samson. Amen? Amen? Because the reason why Samson got messed up with Delilah, because he was not sensitive to the Holy Spirit anymore. If he was not sensitive to the Holy Spirit, so he allowed a Delilah to come into his life. You may have a Delilah in your life. And I'm not talking about a relationship, but there might be something else, you know, that's a Delilah in your life that's taking away your power. That's taking away your anointing. It might be a job. It might be money. It might be a relationship. It might be something that is taking away your anointing, taking away your power, and you don't even realize it, that you don't have the anointing of God anymore because you're allowing a Delilah to come into your life. Now, you need to understand that God desires for you to be connected to him. God desires for you to be familiar with his presence. God desires for you to be tuned in to the Holy Spirit, but we have to apply some principles to our life that Samson was not able to apply. We need to understand that God, he called Samson to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God called him to have fellowship from birth. In the opening scriptures, I read there, and we read in Judges 13, verse 24. It says, verse 24 and 25, it says, the woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. And he grew, and the Lord blessed him. Praise God, amen. To be born, amen. And then to grow up and to be blessed by the Lord. What a blessing, amen. And look at verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to stir him while he was in Manadan between Zorah and Eshcol. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him. So when Samson was born, the Bible says that the Lord was with him, the Lord blessed him, and the Holy Spirit was stirring him, getting him excited to serve God. The Holy Spirit was preparing him for his calling. The Holy Spirit was preparing him for the purpose that God had for his life. Yes. It's just like many of us here today, that the Holy Spirit has stirred us up. That's why you're in church. That's why you're here, because the Holy Spirit has stirred you. Something is inside of you is telling you, no, I need God. I need God. There's something stirring you. That's the Holy Spirit. Amen, church. Amen. Holy Spirit stirring you, is dealing with you, is working with you. We need to allow that Holy Spirit to work with us. Amen, church. But then, as time went on, Samuel began to operate in the flesh. Amen. I know we don't understand that here, right? We don't know how it is to operate in the flesh, right? We don't do that here, right? Well, Samson, he did that. He began to operate in the flesh, right? He began to go after different girls, prostitutes, and different other girls. And then he goes to Delilah, amen? And then Delilah zaps his power, amen? Delilah zaps his power. And verse 20 is a very sad verse in the Bible. Look at Judges chapter 16, verse 20. It says, then she called Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he woke from his sleep and he thought, this is what he thought, I will go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. I want you to sink that. I want that to sink in. He said to himself, yeah, Delilah tied me up. You know, I fell asleep on her lap, right? And they tied me up, and then they shaved my head, right? Because his power came when from the his hair that was growing. They shaved his head. Amen. And then he goes, I'm going to be free like I did before because I'm strong. I'm going to be free like I did before. And then the Bible says he did not understand. He did not realize that the Holy Spirit had left him. And then he woke up. He tried to free himself, and he didn't get free. And they arrested him, and they pulled his eyes out. They gouged his eyes out, and they threw him in prison, and they sent him to hard labor. Yes, Lord. Why? Because he did not realize that the Holy Spirit had left him. Church, has the Holy Spirit left you? I pray not. Don't let the Holy Spirit leave you. Don't let the Holy Spirit leave this church. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? We could be operating like doing our business as usual. We could be, you know, coming to church, singing the songs, praise, setting up and everything. We're doing things. But we don't realize that the Holy Spirit has left us. See, Samson, at one time, he had supernatural strength that was given to him by God. You know the story. Right? That he was the original Superman. Amen? Yeah. Nothing could stop him. He was the original Superman. He had supernatural strength. In Judges chapter 14, verse 6, he tore a lion apart with his bare hands. In Judges 14, verse 19, he struck down 30 men and stripped them of their belongings. In Judges chapter 15, verse 15, with a jawbone of a donkey, he struck down 1,000 men all by himself. The only other person I know that could do that is Superman. Amen? Yeah, all right? In Judges chapter 16, verse 3, he tore loose the city gates that secured the city. He took hold of the doors of the city gate together with the two posts, and he tore them loose, bar and all. He lifted them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that faces Hebron. Here he goes to the city gates and he rips the gates off the hinges, off the ground. He picks it up, and that was a metal gate, heavy gate, and he picks it up on his shoulders and he walks up the hill, not down the hill. Going downhill is easy, right? He walks up the hill with this heavy gate on his shoulders, right? To let the city know you guys are not secure anymore, because that gate provided security for the city. Right, so this man was given supernatural strength from God. Something made Samson lose his power. Something made Samson lose his strength, because we see there that when Delilah woke him up and after they shaved his head, right, he lost his strength and he did not know that the Holy Spirit had left him. So what made the Holy Spirit leave him? What did Samson? Why did Samson lose his power? Well, we're going to answer that question by stating three reasons on how to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. How to stay connected to the Holy Spirit. Point number one, be different. Be different. Be different. Samson, he was called from birth to be a Nazarite. He was called from birth to be different. In Judges chapter 13, verse 5, it says, you will become pregnant. Speaking to Samson's mother, he says, you will become pregnant and have a son whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated or set apart to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines were oppressing the people of God. And God was raising up a judge. There were judges that were being raised up. And Samson was one of those judges, one of the leaders that would protect the people of God. And God called Samson from birth to be a judge that would begin to deliver God's people from the Philistines. From birth, he says, this boy will be a Nazarite. This boy is going to be a Nazarite. What is a Nazarite? Well, you could read the details in Numbers chapter 6, verse 2 to 8. But let me just give it to you in a nutshell. A Nazarite meant that you would not cut your hair. A Nazarite meant that you would not drink from the fruit of the vine or any alcoholic beverages. And to be a Nazarite meant that you would not touch anything that was dead. That was the requirement of a Nazarite. That's what Nazarites were to do. And that's what Samson was called to do from birth, to be a Nazarite. So that's why he didn't cut his hair. You're not supposed to cut your hair, not supposed to drink any fruit of the vine, anything from the grape or any alcoholic beverages, and you're not supposed to touch anything that has died. And Samson, he strayed away from the things of God. He strayed away. He forgot that he was a Nazarite. And the Bible tells us, you can read those stories in chapters 13 through 16 of Judges, that at one time when he tore that lion apart, and then when he came back, there was honey and there was bees inside the carcass of the lion. And he's not supposed to touch a dead body. But what does he do? He goes and he sees the honey and he gets some of the honey and he eats some of the honey and he gives some to his parents. Right? What is he doing? He's touching a dead body. He's supposed to touch a dead body. He would take advantage of his strength. He would use his strength for himself, not for the people of Israel, but for himself. He would get angry. He would have a temper tantrum. I know you don't know what that means here, right? I know you don't understand what a temper tantrum is, right? But he had temper tantrums. He would have a temper tantrum. He would get mad and he would go beat up people. And he would use the strength that God gave him to beat up people, to hurt people. He would use the strength that God would give him. But he forgot that he was called to be different. Guess what, church? You and I are called to be different. Remember, a Nazarite means to be dedicated or to be set apart. Another word for being set apart is to be holy. Are you called to be holy? Yes, you are. Am I called to be holy? Yes, I am. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 and 16, it says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. So you and I are called to be Nazarites also. In other words, to be set apart. You and I are called to be holy. That's, you and I are called to be separated, different. Amen, church. You are called to be different. And I got some more news for you. You're called to be holy, and it's not your choice. God did not say, do you want to be holy? Then follow me. No, he says, be holy, for I am holy. Samson was called to be a Nazarite from birth. He did not wake up one day and say, you know what, I think I'll be a Nazarite today. I think I'll go and fight the Philistines today. No, he was called from birth. Before he was born, his father was told, your son is going to be a Nazarite and he is going to deliver my people from the Philistines. From birth, he was called. He was not given a choice. Some of you think that you have a choice. Should I serve God or not? Some of you think that you have a choice. Should I be committed to church or not? Some of you think you have a choice. Should I stop drinking? Should I stop getting high? Should I stop cussing? Should I or should I not? You don't have a choice. God called you to be holy. And he says, be holy for I am holy. You've been called from birth. Amen, church. You've been called from birth. God does not ask you what you want to be. God does not ask you. He tells you what you want. He wants you to be. He wants you to be holy. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 through 6, it says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." It says here, before the creation of the world, God called you to be holy. Before he created the heavens and the earth, he called you to be holy. In other words, that tells me that you existed before the sun existed. You existed before the moon existed. You existed before the earth existed. You're pretty old. He knew us before the creation of the world. He knew us and he called us to be holy and blameless in his sight. Many people, they don't recognize the presence of God. And many people think that they're living in the presence of God. But the Holy Spirit has left them. Why? Because they stopped being holy. They stopped being holy. They're doing their own thing. And you think, oh, God's with me. Are you sure he's with you? Are you sure? Are you still dabbling with sin? And you think God's with you? The Holy Spirit left you and you don't even know it. But you and I, we need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. We need the anointing of God. Are you listening to me, church? We are called to be different. There are consequences for not obeying what God called you to do. There are consequences for not living a life that is separated, that is holy. Just like Samson, the consequence that he experienced was that he lost the presence of the Holy Spirit in his life. And one day, he woke up and he realized, God's not with me. He didn't even realize when it happened. But how many know that it is time for you and I to live a life that is separated and holy unto God, that is obeying what God has called us to do? God has called you for a purpose. God has called you, but you have to say, yes, Lord, I will obey what you've called me to do. And the number one calling is to be holy, to be separated, to be different. If you're not living a different life, if you're living like everybody else lives in this world, don't expect the Holy Spirit to comfort you when you're going through trials. If you go to church only when it's convenient, if you give only when you can afford to give, if you get involved in the things of God only when we're going to give our presents to everybody, amen? Or I'm going to get involved because I want to get presents. Remember Christmas, amen? A lot of people want to get involved, amen? But then after Christmas, they don't want to be involved no more. Going to wait till next Christmas, amen? But how many know that's not what God's called us to be? God wants us to be holy and separated. God, don't allow the Holy Spirit to leave your life. Amen, church. Amen. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Amen, church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers." Listen, how many unbelievers do you hang out with? How many unbelievers do you cuss with? How many unbelievers do you do worldly things with? You drink with? How many unbelievers do you get high with? How many unbelievers are you hanging out with? Who is your best friend? An unbeliever? Somebody that doesn't want God? Something's wrong. The Bible says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what does righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What agreement is there between the temple of God and the temple of idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and separate yourself, says the Lord. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. It's time, for you to realize that God wants to have a presence in your life. It's time for you to realize that God wants to have an anointing on your life. It's time for you to realize that God wants to use you in a powerful way, but it's time to allow God to do it. Amen, church? Amen. It's time to allow God to do it. So if you want to stay connected to the Holy Spirit, if you don't want the Holy Spirit to leave you, then be different. Be different. Don't be like everybody else. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't act like the world acts. Don't dress like the world dresses. Be different. Did you get that, church? Young people, be different. Don't let peer pressure get you to be like the world. Amen? Be different. Parents, don't let the other parents try to get you to be like the world. Amen, parents? Amen? We cannot allow the world to change us. We got to be different. We got to let the Holy Spirit change us. Amen? So we need the Holy Spirit. And how do you keep the Holy Spirit in your life? Number one, be different. Number two, stay connected to spiritual advisors. Stay connected to spiritual advisors. You need spiritual advisors. If you stay away from spiritual advisors, probably the Holy Spirit left you. Stay connected to spiritual advisors. Look what happened to Samson in Judges chapter 14, in verse number 1. Verse number 1, it says, Samson went down to Timnah, and he saw there a young Philistine woman. And when he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She is the right one for me. Talk about a spoiled brat. Amen. Right? He goes, sees this girl from the Timnah, which is a Philistine land, which is the enemy of the people of God. For us, it's the world. Right? It's the world. People that are of the world, they don't want to be involved in the things of God. Amen? And he goes to see this woman, and he falls in love with her. Oh, look at her. Right? He falls in love with her. He just looks at her, and he's in love. This guy had a girl problem. Amen? So what does he do? He goes to his mother and father. Hey, I want that girl from Timnah. Get her for me. But his spiritual advisor, his father, his parents, tell him, hey, Samson, you're a Nazarite. You're supposed to be separated. Why do you want to go to those uncircumcised Philistines? Why do you want to go to them and get a woman from them? Don't we have a lot of women here from our land? Why do you want to go into the world? Why do you want to get a boyfriend from the world? Why do you want to get a girlfriend from the world? God has something better for you. Yeah. Amen? So what does Samson say? Okay, mom and dad, I'll be obedient to you. That's what he should have said. But he didn't say. He said, Dad, I want her. Get her for me. And know what dad does? Okay. And he goes and gets her. That's just a little commentary for you parents. Come on, parents. Don't ask your kids what they should do. You tell your kids what they need to do. I've seen parents ask their kids, do you want to do this? Do you want to go here? No, I don't want to go. Okay. Oh, yes, I do want to. I was not raised that way. Maybe I'm old school. My parents did not ask me, what school I wanted to go to. They did not ask me, we were raised Catholic, so do you want to go to church today? Right? They did not ask me. I mean, they were going, so I got to go. I might not have liked it, but I had to go. Amen? Parents, don't ask your kids what to do. Tell them what to do. But anyway, that's just in parentheses. Let me get back to it. We need to stay connected to our spiritual advisors. Samson, his spiritual advisors at that time was his parents. And his parents was giving him advice. And he didn't want to listen to the advice. He was demanding what he wanted to do. Unfortunately, his spiritual advisors, which were his parents, were not strong enough. Maybe they thought, well, Samson, he's special. He's a Nazarite, from birth. Because the angel spoke to them before he was born. So they thought, okay, he's special. We got to treat him special. Yeah, you got to treat him like a boy. Boys, they're like girls. Amen, boys? Right? Right? Boys are in the flesh, right? And they got to be taught and trained the right way. Amen? So the spiritual advisors didn't put their foot down. But Samson did not listen to the advice of his spiritual advisors. Listen, you want the power of the Holy Spirit to not leave you? Then you need to stay connected to the spiritual advisors in your life. You may not agree with what they say at times. You may not like what they say at times, but you need it. You need it. You need to listen to the advice of spiritual advisors. The Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Amen. And don't be like Samson and throw a temper tantrum where you don't get what your way. You don't get what you want. I've experienced that people come and ask me for advice on certain things. And I tell them, you know, I give them my advice and they don't like it. So then they leave the church or they find somebody else until they hear what they want to hear. Then they say, okay. But listen, we need to stay connected to our spiritual advisors. Because if you are not connected to a spiritual advisor in your life, the Holy Spirit is going to leave your life because you're going to start operating in the flesh. You're going to start operating in the logical, in the things that didn't make sense. You know, Samson was probably getting tired of his long hair, right? He finally told Delilah, okay, my strength comes from my long hair. And so what is long hair going to do? But he told her, my strength comes from my long hair. And so what does Delilah do? She shaves his head off and he loses his strength. That doesn't make sense to us today, right? Long hair. I mean, thank God long hair, you know, doesn't give us strength or else I'd be in trouble. Amen. Right, Evangelist James? We'd be in trouble. But at that time, that's what he needed to be obedient to. But he tells Delilah and they shave his head off. Amen. He tells his parents, I want that girl. And they tell him, no, not that one. And he doesn't care. He wants that one. Right? He wasn't obedient to the advice that was given to him. But listen, if you want the power of the Holy Spirit to stay in your life, you need to stay connected to spiritual advisors. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do not think, do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. The Bible says, have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority because they watch over your soul. And they have to give an account for you. Amen? So we need to submit to the authority that God places over our life, whether we agree or not, whether we like it or not. We may not understand it, but if you want the power of the Holy Spirit, just submit to it. Just submit to it, because then that's where the anointing comes. The anointing comes when we submit to the authority that God places over us. The anointing comes when we submit to one another. Amen, church. The anointing comes when the people of God are dwelling together in unity. Doesn't mean agreement. We may not agree, but we stay united, whether we agree or not. Amen? Proverbs chapter 5, verse 11 through 14 says, at the end of your life, you will groan when your flesh and body are spent. You will say, how I hated discipline. How my heart spurned correction. I would not obey my teachers or turn my ear to my instructors. And I was soon in serious trouble in the assembly of God's people. That's heavy. What is he saying there? I hated discipline. My heart turned away from correction. I did not want to obey my teachers. I didn't want to listen to the instruction that was given to me. But then soon I was in serious trouble because of not coming under the spiritual authority. It is time for God's people to understand that God has given us a spiritual authority for our own good, for our own benefit. Amen, church. It is a weapon that God has given to you to fight the devil, is to submit to the authority that God has placed under your life. God has given you a weapon, and many Christians don't use that weapon. That's right. They think they know more than the authority, and guess what? You probably do. But God has not placed you as the authority, so then your job is to submit under the authority. I have a spiritual leader. I've been saved longer than my spiritual leader. I've been a pastor longer than my spiritual leader, but I submit. That's Pastor Anthony Sanchez, my regional pastor. I submit to that because I know if I don't, I'm going to miss out on the power of God. I need the anointing of God. So I submit under that. I submit under that. I'm older than him in physically, and I'm older than him in the spirit. But I submit anyway because I need the anointing. I need the anointing. Amen, church. Do you need the anointing? Well, your actions will speak louder than your words. Amen. When you submit to the authority, then you realize you need the anointing. When you're given advice, when you're given counsel, and you take it, and it hurts, but you take it anyway. The power of God comes upon your life. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So number one, to experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and not push the Holy Spirit away from your life is, number one, be different. Number two, stay connected to your spiritual authorities. And number three, don't rely on your own abilities. Don't rely on your own abilities. It takes prayer and fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Samson relied on his gift more than the giver. Samson relied on his gift, the strength that God gave him. That was a gift that God gave him. God gave him supernatural strength to be able to defeat armies on his own, to be able to tear a lion apart on his own. That took supernatural strength to be able to defeat 1,000 soldiers with the jawbone of a donkey. That takes supernatural strength. God gave him supernatural strength, and he knew it. And he knew the talent, the ability that he had, and he began to depend on his own talent, his own ability. But little did he know that it was going to run out because he was relying on his talents and abilities and not on God. At the end of Samson's life, he began to trust in the Lord. He began to trust in God. In Judges 16:28, it says, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord." At the end, after they gouged his eyes out, after he's in prison, after he's working hard labor, he can't see. The Bible says in Judges 16:28, "Then Samson prayed to the Lord, 'Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me once more again.'" He prays to the Lord. He comes to the Lord. Nowhere else do you read that Samson prayed. Not until the end of his life, after he lost his strength, after his eyes were gouged out, after he's in prison working hard labor, then he prays, "God, give me strength one more time. Give me your strength." And guess what? God is good. God is merciful. And God gave him back his strength. And he was able to defeat the Philistines in the temple. They were in the temple of Dagon, and they were praising the Lord. You can read it. They were praising Dagon, not the Lord, but they were praising Dagon because they had captured Samson. And what does Samson do? He stands between two pillars, and he, with his strength that God gave him back, he was able to tear down the walls, the pillars, and the whole temple came falling, and over 3,000 people died. Philistines died. The Bible says that he defeated more Philistines at his death than in his whole life when he was alive. Because he stopped depending on his own talent and he prayed. Listen, church, you and I, a sign that you depend on God is that you pray every day. We're ending our 21 days of prayer and fasting. Amen. Last year, we had 40 days of prayer. Remember that? But we're not stopping praying just because it's over. I can stop praying now. No, we still need to pray. And we still need to fast. Amen? We still need to fast. Don't let today be the last day you ever fast. Amen? Let's continue to fast. Amen? Other days throughout the year. But we need to understand that when you don't pray, you don't fast, you don't seek the Lord, you are depending on your own talents. You are depending on your own abilities. When you get up in the morning and you walk out the house without praying, you're telling God, "I don't need you." You're telling God, "I got this." You're telling God, I got this. I know how to go to work. I know how to do that job." You're depending on your abilities, on your own talents. "I know how to take care of this. I know how to do this." That's what Samson did. He would get up and go look for prostitutes. He would get up and he would go do his own. He would go to a party. He would go to this. He would do different things, but he would not spend time with God. And God gave him his ability still. God didn't take it away immediately. God does not take away his gifts and talents immediately. God does not take away his anointing from your life immediately. But eventually, if you don't eventually turn to God, God's going to leave you. The Holy Spirit will leave you. the power of the Holy Spirit will leave you and you will not realize it. And then you're going to end up in big trouble. End up in prison. End up locked up. End up, who knows, because you're leaning on your own understanding. It is time for God's people to pray. Amen, church. It's time for God's people to realize that they have a special gift and ability given to them by God. God has given every single one of you a special gift, an ability, a spiritual gift, the Bible calls it. You have a gift from God, an ability from God to do something for the Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. It says to each one, every single one of you, it says the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. In other words, every single one of us has been given a spiritual gift. This gift, the gift of servanthood, the gift of singing, the gift of worship, being singing in the worship team, the gift of hospitality, the gift of helps, the gift of leadership, the gift of generous giving. There's different gifts in the Bible that talks about, that, and God has given to you those gifts. There's many gifts that you that God has given to every single one of us, and it's up to us to use those gifts for God. But we cannot rely on our own talent. We cannot rely on our own ability. We need to rely on the power of God. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jude chapter 20 and 21 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. He says, build yourselves up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you ask God baptize you in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, when you pray in the Spirit, you're depending on the power of God. You're not depending on yourself anymore. I would never get behind this pulpit without prayer. If I don't pray, then I don't get me away from this pulpit. Amen. I don't need to be up here in the flesh. I need to be with the anointing of God. If you're an usher, you should not be ushering if you didn't pray. If you're ushering out there, you shouldn't have. If you're holding a basket and you didn't pray, something's not right. Amen. You need that anointing to hold that basket. If you're in the flesh holding that basket, nobody's going to give. You're in the flesh. Amen. Amen. We need to have the anointing of God. If you hold a basket, if you're teaching the children, if you're on this worship team, if you sing on this worship team and you didn't pray. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the power of God. If you're playing an instrument, you're singing, teaching the children, if you're in the hospitality and if you're serving cake or you're serving food to people and you didn't pray. Listen, we need to be anointed to serve food. Amen. Some of you know how to serve food. You're talented, right? You're going to cook a meal for the church and you got talent. You know how to cook. Hallelujah. Thank God for that. But before you cook that meal, pray. God, anoint me to cook this meal. Let this not just nourish their bodies, but let it be a blessing. Let whoever eats this food, that when they eat the food, they sense the presence of God because of the anointing, not because the food is different, right? But the cook, whoever cooked that food is anointed. Yes. Amen, church. Amen. See, everything we do, we need to have the presence of God. We cannot be depending on our own gifts, our own talents, our own abilities. Amen, church. Or else you'll be like Samson. You're going to be okay for a while. But then the Holy Spirit is going to leave you. And you're not going to even know it till it's too late. Amen. Listen, we need the anointing of God. So continue to pray. Continue to fast. Stay in the Word of God. Read your Bible every day. See, this is part where the anointing comes. When we read the word, we drink from the word, we eat the word, this nourishes our soul. Amen, church. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the word of God. We need prayer. We need fasting. We need to be in the presence of God. We need not to depend on our gifts and our talents. Thank God for your gifts and talents. Thank God we've had gifted and talented people in our church, but they were not anointed because they left the things of God. They didn't want to pray. They didn't want to be involved in the presence of God. So the anointing leaves. And then they get mad, frustrated at everybody else because their anointing left. The anointing leaves you. It's not nobody else's fault but your own. Amen? Nobody could take the anointing from you except for God. Amen? And so you need to be in the presence of God. We need the presence of God. We need to not rely on our gifts and our talents and our abilities. Amen? I want the worship team to make their way up. Hallelujah. This year, God wants to do great things. There's a stirring going on in our church. But at the same time as the Holy Spirit is stirring, at the same time the devil is hitting. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
That's right. Amen.
Right? No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Right. Amen? Yeah. Because the Holy Spirit is stirring. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit was stirred Samson. When he was a young boy, the Holy Spirit was stirring him. But even though he was being stirred by the Holy Spirit, he was getting hit up by the devil, and he gave in to the temptations. The Holy Spirit is doing a stirring in our church. Ever since the end of last year, I've been sensing a stirring. Then we get a prophecy. We get a word that God wants to bring revival. God wants to do something. Listen, church. Let's fellowship after church. Right now, let's listen to what God is saying. You're quenching the Spirit when you begin to talk. And during church, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you, and you're quenching the Spirit. After, we could go eat and fellowship and talk. Amen? But right now, I'm saying this because I don't want you to miss out on what God wants to do in your life. God wants to do great things in your life, but we got to allow the Holy Spirit to stir us. Allow the Holy Spirit to stir you. Give in to the Holy Spirit. Give in to the Spirit, not the flesh. Not the flesh. Give in to the Spirit. Give in to what God wants for your life. Give in to it, because God will bless your life if you give into it. Amen? Start by being different. Be different. Don't be like everybody else. Don't be like the world. Be different. Amen? Don't allow the world to get you caught up. Amen? Submit to the spiritual advisors that God places over your life. Submit to them. Connect with them. Don't be afraid of them. Connect with them. Don't judge them. Don't talk about them. Connect with them. Amen? And then don't depend on your talent, but pray and fast. Read the word. Spend time with God. Because that's where the Holy Spirit comes and anoints us. Amen, church? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to anoint you? Are you ready for the Holy Spirit to empower you? Then I want you to stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. 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 Lift your hands. Hallelujah. Lift your hands.